Luke chapter 17, we're going to read a story. It's a familiar story. You've probably heard it before, but I have a real simple Bible study tonight. I've entitled it Thanksgiving Pointers. Thanksgiving Pointers. And basically what we're going to see in this story are five pointers that will help our thanks be better. I know that you are a thankful people. I know you thank the Lord once or twice or more times per day. But these are some things that will not only help us as we thank the Lord, but as we thank each other. And I would tell you that I think all five would apply as we express our thanks to our spouses, with perhaps the exception of the first one. I may step back and say maybe the first one doesn't apply to our horizontal relationships, our relationships with each other. It certainly applies to the Lord. Although it may not apply exactly, I think if we have this attitude in our horizontal relationships, we would be more thankful and we'd probably get along better with everybody. But I'll let you decide whether you think it applies to the relationships we have with each other. But look at verse 11. We're going to start in verse 11. We're going to read down through verse 19. Here's what the Bible says. Again, Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So again, we see some things in this story that will make our thanks greater, will make our thanks better. And again, it'll apply, I think, to our fellow men as well as to God. Maybe with the exception of this first one. And so here, let me just tell you what the first one is and you think about it. We'll be more grateful and be more thankful if we go in especially to those things of God with the attitude that I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. Now I step back and because I think, you know, in our husband-wife relationships, we deserve some things from our spouse. In our parent-children relationships, we sort of deserve some things from each other. In our friend relationships, we deserve some things from each other. But again, I think we would be better if we went into each of those relationships with the same attitude. I deserve nothing. But I certainly think that in our relationship with God, that's the attitude that we ought to have. I deserve nothing from God. And therefore, everything that he gives me is an act of mercy, or everything he doesn't give me is an act of mercy, and everything that he gives me is an act of grace, and therefore I need to be grateful for everything. So here were these 10 lepers. The Bible says they stood afar off. That was what they were supposed to do. That's what the law said. If you had leprosy, the law said you can't get close to anybody. You had to live outside of the city. You could not live with your family. And if you approached anybody on the road, what you were supposed to do by law is to cross on the other side of the road, put a rag over your upper lip, and cry out, unclean, unclean, so that those that were approaching you knew that you had leprosy. And it would be better for them to stay away because this disease was spread by touch. And so they stood afar off. They did not approach Jesus. They kept their distance, but they cried out, Jesus, Master. And what they were saying is, as our master, you owe us nothing. You have no debt that you need to pay to us. We have no claim on your help. You are the master. We are the slaves. And Jesus had no obligation to help them. And so that's what they were saying when they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Don't give us what we deserve. What we deserve is for you to stay away from us. What we deserve is for you to not have anything to do with us. What we deserve is for you just to ignore us, because, again, that was the law. That's what was supposed to happen. And so they were saying, don't give us what we deserve. Don't stay away from us. Don't ignore us. Don't cross over to the other side of the road. And what they were asking for was something that they didn't deserve. What they were asking for was grace. And again, the simple way to remember the difference between mercy and grace: mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. When we got saved, we got both. We got saved, we got mercy, because we deserve hell and we're not going there. When we got saved, we got grace, because we're getting heaven and we don't deserve that. And so when they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, don't give us what we deserve, give us something we don't deserve, heal us. That's what they were asking for. They had heard, I'm sure, of other occasions where lepers had approached Jesus. Remember that one that's in several of the Gospels that came close to Jesus and said, if you wilt, you could heal me. If you wanted to, you could heal me. And Jesus says, I want to. And he touched him. And immediately the leprosy was gone. But these, again, these 10 men kept the law. They did not approach Jesus. They cried from a distance. And Jesus said to them, like he did to the single leper that approached him, I will have mercy on you. I will not ignore you. I will not pass by on the other side of the street and take no notice on you. I'm gonna give you some grace. I want you to go show yourself to the priest. Now again, a leper only showed themselves to the priest when they were healed. And you had to be, if you were a leper and a miracle was worked in your life, because again, there was no medicine that could cure leprosy. There was no operation that could cure leprosy. I mean, if you had leprosy, the best you could hope for was a short life, because it became a very painful disease. I mean, your extremities would fall off your body. People lost their fingers, their toes, pieces of their ear, pieces of their nose. Your body was filled with open sores that would run body fluids, pus, and blood. And it was a very painful disease. And again, no cure. I mean, if you were a leper, you could either hope for a miracle, and when Jesus came on the scene, those miracles became available. Or you could hope for a short life and a quick death, because that would eliminate the pain that you were in. And so here's Jesus. He's telling these 10 men who cried out for mercy, don't give us what we deserve. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, I've read this story many, many times. I've thought about it many, many times. They come to Jesus for help, and now he's saying, well, go show yourself to the priest. They knew that they only could do that if they were healed. I'm sure they look down at their hands and say, well, I'm still missing fingers. If they could look down at their feet and see their toes, they could say, I'm still missing toes. If they could look down and see their arm or the different parts of their body, they could say, hey, my sores haven't healed up, and I'm still racked with pain. Why should I go see the priest? Nothing's happened. I mean, there's been no change in my body. There's been no change in my condition. Why would I want to go see the priest? But the Bible says that they went. They started toward the priest. Because you see, when they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, what they were saying was true. They were saying, you are our master. And what you tell us to do, even though we don't understand why you want us to do it, we're going to do it. Again, there was no reason for them to go head toward the priest. They weren't healed. They could see that. They could feel that in the pain of their bodies. But when their master told them to go, they went. And again, it's not part of my Bible study tonight, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Jesus really was our master? Really, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing is that when he made his will known to us, we would be like these lepers and say, yes, sir, here I go. Not stand around and say, well, I don't understand. Not stand around and say, well, could we alter this plan just a little bit? I would like to add something to it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus was our master and he knew what's best for us, and when he made his will known, it would be the best thing we could do to just say yes, sir, and be obedient. Just do it. Just do it. So that's what they did. And again, I don't think they might not have understood why when they started out, because they still was not healed. Grace has to be acted upon by faith. Don't miss that. Grace has to be appropriated by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. God offers that grace to every single individual. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it's only when we exercise faith that we can appropriate the grace. It's available to everybody. I mean, it would be like having a, if I'll just give you an example. I mean, everybody has cancer, and somebody comes up with a cure. And the cure is available to everybody, but you got to go get it to get it. I mean, that's the same thing with the grace that God offers to every single person. He gives it to everybody, and but it has to be appropriated by faith, and he gives us enough faith to appropriate it. The Bible says he has dealt to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to believe what this book says about sin, enough faith to believe what this book says about the punishment for sin, enough faith to believe what this book says about the one who took our place and paid the price for our sin, enough faith, if we'd exercise it, to ask Jesus to be our Savior. Grace has to be appropriated by faith. So he showed these lepers grace. Again, they didn't, at this point, they didn't see it yet. They didn't understand it yet. But when he said, hey, go show yourself to the priest, the Bible says that they, in faith, appropriated that grace, and they started toward the priest. And then the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Their faith paid off. They got to see God's grace. He healed them. Again, from a disease where there was no cure. No man-made cure. No medicine. Again, if you were a leper, you died. And your pain was over. So again, these men had the attitude, we don't deserve anything from Jesus. There's nothing that they could point up and say, hey, I'm a worthy leper. There's nothing they could hold up and say, hey, my righteousness deserves your grace. My righteousness deserves your healing. They had the attitude that we don't deserve anything. And when Jesus gave them mercy and grace, they were thankful. And if you have the attitude, I don't deserve anything. I deserve nothing from God. Then when God gives us anything, we need to be a thankful people. Because the only thing we deserve from God is an eternity in hell. Everything that he gives us when he saves us, and then the Holy Spirit, and then the every good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father above, is none of that. I mean, we can't hold up our righteousness and say, hey look, I deserve this. But we can't hold up our good works and say, hey, I deserve this. We can't hold up who we are and say we deserve this. We're just a hunk of dirt. And in all our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. And so when God saves us and when God blesses us, we need to be thankful because he doesn't owe us anything. He is not obligated to us in any way. And yet he shows us mercy. And he shows us grace. So, you want to know how to be more thankful when it comes to God? Just understand that he owes us nothing. I don't deserve anything from God. And everything he does for me, I need to be grateful for. Number 2. Now, 2, 3, 4, and 5 all apply not only to our relationship with God, but in our relationship to one another. Number two is, notice what God does. Notice what he does. Here's what the Bible says. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Again, we know it was a Samaritan. It tells us at the end of the story. Somebody that the Jews hated. Somebody that the Jews, when it says here that Jesus went passed through the midst of Samaria, he did something that Jews normally didn't do because Jews normally detoured around Samaria. They didn't want to go through there. They didn't want to get close to Samaritans. Samaritans were half Jew and half something else. And the Jews avoided them. And yet, here's the Samaritan. He saw that he was healed. I mean, maybe he looked down and says, hey, the tips of my fingers are back. Maybe he looked down and he said, hey, the tips of my toes are back. Maybe he looked at his arm and said, hey, that sore that I had in my arm, it's gone. And I don't feel any pain anymore. Again, leprosy was a very painful disease. I don't feel any pain anymore. I believe that God does a lot of things for each of us as individuals that we don't even notice. We're so busy. And so many times we take the things that God does for us for granted. Unless we take the time to notice. Unless we make the effort to see what God has done, we won't be thankful. And by the way, that applies to your spouse. That applies to your parents. That applies to your grandparents. That applies to your children. Hey, let me just see Miguel and Ty and Shaylin. Jameson left and Dominique must be in the back. Let me just remind you guys something. You know your mom and dad don't owe you a thing. They don't. They don't. You know your grandpa and grandpa, they don't owe you a thing. I know we're supposed to love our grandkids. I know we're supposed to love our kids and take care of them. But we ought to have the attitude, they don't owe me anything. And when they love me, and when they express that love by what they do, I'm going to notice it. I'm going to take the time to see it. I'm going to be thankful. And again, it applies in our relationship with God. So many times we take the things that God does for us for granted. And we're so busy with the things of life. David was sharing something with me before the service. Small thing, but it was an important thing to me, an important thing to him that God's enabled him to do the last month or so. And we all need to be like that. We all need to take the time to notice and see what God does. And we sang that song Sunday, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I think if we took that song serious, and every day we, and again, I challenge you, take a day, not tomorrow, you're going to be too busy eating and all that other stuff tomorrow, but take a day and just make this resolve. Today, I'm going to notice everything God does for me, and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to jot it down on a piece of paper. I dare say that when you get to the end of the day, that verse and that song will be true, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So, have the attitude, he owes me nothing. Number two, notice what he does. Number three, make your thanks immediate. When this one leper saw that he was clean, he came back to thank Jesus. The other nine, I believe they were cured. I believe they actually went to the priest to be certified that they were cleansed. And maybe the other nine, after they got done with the priest, came back and sought out Jesus to thank him. We don't read about that in the Bible. There's no record that they ever did, but just giving them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they did come back and thank Jesus. I don't know, but I know this. We will be more apt to give thanks if we do it immediately as opposed to waiting to give thanks later. If you wait, you'll lose some of your gratitude. If you wait, your gratitude will diminish. It won't go away All of it won't go away, but it'll be less. The most, you are more grateful at the moment that you are bestowed upon whatever is bestowed upon you than you are an hour later or a day later or 2 days later. And so when this man noticed that he was clean, he came back immediately and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me." Number four. Now, I'm going to stretch a little bit on this one, but I believe it's in keeping with the spirit of the scripture. I think number four, he made his thanks specific. Again, it's not recorded, and maybe you think I'm adding to the word, but here's what I think went through that man's mind. I think he said to Jesus, "I was missing pieces of my fingers. You put them all back together. Thank you for healing my fingers. I was missing pieces of my toes, and you made all my toes grow back. Thank you for healing my toes. I was missing a piece of my ear. It had fallen off because of that disease of leprosy. I got my whole ear back." You remember when Brother Paul had his ear operated on? They put it on backwards, and he had to go back and get it fixed. Jesus don't make no mistakes. I'm just teasing. But Jesus don't make no mistakes. It was on right. It was whole. And I think that leper says, "Thank you. Thank you for fixing my ear and making it right." I think he noticed the spots on his body where he had open sores. And he said, "Jesus, you've healed every one of them. You've healed every one of them. And Jesus, I don't feel any more pain. For the first time since I can remember, my body doesn't ache. I'm just not in terrible pain." And I think he specifically thanked Jesus for every part of his body that was healed. I think he went on and said, "Jesus, now I can go back home. I can be with my family again. Now I can go get a job and I can support them. Now I can live in the town again with my neighbors and my friends. Now I get to go to the synagogue again and worship God with other people. I couldn't do that because I had to live on the outskirts of town. And Jesus, I'm so grateful for everything that this entails, this healing that you brought to my body. I'm so grateful." And he just didn't say, "I'm grateful in general." He said, "I'm grateful very specifically for what you've done." A lot of people, a lot of us, we get to the end of the day, and it's been a good day. And before we go to bed, we say, "Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've done for me today." And that's okay if that's all you're going to do. But I think it would be better at the end of the day to list them. Say, "Jesus, you did this for me today. Holy Spirit, you did this for me today. God, you did this for me today. I just want to tell you how grateful I am, how thankful I am." So he noticed it. It was immediate. He was specific. And by the way, I think that same thing is true of that verse in the Bible that we claim, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that verse we need to be specific to. Again, as opposed to doing nothing, if you get to the end of the day and say, "Lord, forgive me of all my sins today," that's better than doing nothing. But I think the more specific we are and we name our sins and we confess them to God and we ask for his forgiveness, the more apt we'll be not to repeat them. The more apt to be, it'll be harder for us to sin that same way the next time when we confess it specifically to God. And then number five. And so he went into it with the attitude that God owes me nothing. He noticed what Jesus did. His thanks was immediate. His thanks was specific. And then number five, his thanks was in proportion to what was done. I'll just tell you tonight, what Jesus did for that leper was a big deal. It was a big deal. Again, there was no cure for leprosy. There was no medical treatment. There was nothing that you did. And when you got it, you stayed a leper. You died a leper. Your only hope was a miracle. Well, he received a miracle. And his thanks to Jesus was thanking him for a miracle. Knows what he did. We read those verses in chapter 17. He turned back, verse 15, and with a loud voice glorified God. and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. With a loud voice, falling prostrate at Jesus' feet. You see, before when he was sick, he couldn't approach Jesus. But now that he was healed, he could come and get as close as he wanted. And he came and fell down at his feet, and with a loud voice, glorified him as God, giving him thanks for what was done. Too many times, I think we're stingy in our thanks. We say thank you, but our thanks doesn't reflect the magnitude of what God has done in our life. If it's a big deal, then we ought to give him a big thanks. If it's a big deal, then our thanks ought to be big. And we ought to not just do it with that still small voice that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If it's a big deal, sometimes we ought to get loud. If it's a big deal, sometimes we ought not to care what other people say when we get to praising the Lord. If it's a big deal, we don't ought to worry about how we might offend people mentioning the name of Jesus, our Savior. If it's a big deal, we ought to want to let other people know that God worked a big deal in our life. Amen. And our thanks ought to be in proportion to what God does. Now, again, the last four things, again, and I'll quit with this because I'm out of time, but the last four things I think apply to our horizontal relationships. You ought to notice what other people do in your life. You ought to notice. Too many times, husbands and wives, they get to the point where they take each other for granted, and they don't notice the things that their spouses do for them. They don't. And you get to the point, well, they just owe this to me. Nobody owes you breakfast in bed. Nobody owes you a diamond bracelet. Hey, you ought to notice. Juanita, you probably deserve it. I'm just kidding you. But you ought to notice. And your thanks ought to be immediate. Don't say, well, I'll thank my husband tonight. You'll forget by tonight. Thank him right then. I'll thank my wife tomorrow. Well, you'll forget by tomorrow. Thank her right now. And be specific. Tell him or her what you're thankful for. And if it's a big deal, make it a big thanks. Make it a big thanks. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow with family, friends, however you're going to spend it. Don't eat too much, but eat enough. Don't get up from the table hungry. Let's stand together and let's have a word of prayer.